Really, so really, the stuff that we learn here is amazing, and the people are even more amazing. And you really saved my time. You really are going to be a total waste. I didn't prepare, so we'll figure it out together. Zoysa Baracha. It's always the parasha I wanted to learn, but I never learned this parasha. I don't know, you never really time to really learn what it says in this parasha. All the mystical things about Zoysa Baracha. Zoysa Baracha, Shabracha Moshe, Isha, Lakim, Estimation, Lefnaim. So this is the blessing which Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he blessed the Jewish people. Moshe was the Isha Lakim es Bnei Yisrael before he died. Rashi. V'zoi sabrocha l'fnei Moshe. When it says in the Pasuk, Rashi says v'zoi sabrocha, then Rashi right away he jumps to the end of the Pasuk. Okay, the Dibur HaMa'asel is very interesting. L'fnei Moshe, samuch l'misase. She'im loy achshav, emasa. The famous Chazal, the quote from Pirkei Avos. Let's see the Targum. Targum v'da birchisa. This is the blessing. Divarech Moshe niviyada Hashem. Yos b'nei Yisrael kodam Moshe before his death. Okay, so I didn't prepare, but on the side of my sefer, the Ma'at Sori, he right away picks up on the obvious. Since when does Ish Ho Eloi Kim translate into meaning a navi? Where did you get that from? So he says over here that, what's the significance? Okay, I can't really figure out very quickly, but he's saying over here is that elsewhere or other Nefarsha don't translate that in this way. And it's unique that the Targum translates the word Ish Ho Eloi Kim as a Navi. There are so many things that we do not know about prophecy. Every so often in the morning we learn Navi, you know, we get a glimpse every so often into a new facet of what it means to be a Navi. There are so many different facets and dimensions and concepts that are not at all simple and are very revealing what a Navi is. And here we have another critical, it's really a shame, we should have write everything down as we come along and make a whole sefer on Nevuah. I've seen there are people that are swarm out there that are the topic of the sefer is, you know, to collect all the different ideas of what exactly, to get a theoretical idea and concept, what is a Navi. But this is a very critical addition. In the words, Ish, a Navi is still called an Ish Ho Elokim. He's still called an Ish. Ish is the simple translation of the word Ish means a man. And a holy man. A godly man. A Navi is not a person that is not like an angel. Not a person that's completely removed from the world. He's still grounded here in this world as an Ish. Ish Ho Elokim. That's what it says in the Targum. Moshe Neviyoda Hashem. The prophet of Hashem. Okay, that's a very powerful limud musar. B'nei Yisrael kodam Moshe before he died. Okay, that's pretty much the straightforward. Next pasuk base. Vayoymar. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? He said as follows. Hashem, mi Sinai bo, you came from Sinai. Vizorach, your light was shined. Mi Seir, from Seir. And now Seir refers to Seir refers to Edom, right? That's a land. That's a land that's to the east of Eretz Yisrael. Lamo means onto them. Hoifia, you appeared. Mehar Poron, where is that? I don't know. The Asan, you came. May Rivvois Kodesh. Rivvois normally means 10,000. 10,000 holy ones. Mimino, on his right side, Eish Das Lamai. Now the way it's spelled is, it's a krivich siv. The way it is spelled in the Torah is two words, Eish, and then a space. I'm sorry. It's spelled as one word. I'm not even sure. It's the way in Wachomish, it seems to be spelled Eish Das as one word, but the pronunciation is two words. The way you pronounce it is Eish, pause, das, lomai. Okay, now let's see here. Rashi. Rashi, it's a long Rashi. We have a Yomar.
The Kasiv is one word.
One word, but the pronunciation should be two words. Ish Doslamo. Last week I made a mistake when I told you last week Hal Hashem. Okay, so I told you something that's incorrect. The correct, I checked this with a few people because I leaned on Zinu and I checked it out with a few experts. They all told me the same thing. They told me, look at the Mincha Shai, the pronunciation of Hal, of the way it's spelled in the Torah in Hazinu, is there's a big massive hay, and then there is a space, and then there's Lamid Yudke Vavke. And we learned the Targum and Rashi, and according to the Targum, he really says the word Ha is a separate word, which means like Hine. The letter Hey by itself is a word. So I was a little bit confused as to the pronunciation. And just for the record, the correct pronunciation is Hal Hashem. It's one word. You pronounce it as one word, no pause, but the Lamid is a Shronoch. And then you say Ah, Ado, and then you finish off Hashem's name with Noi. So it's Hal Adoy V'chulu. That's the pronunciation.
Right, that's according to the Targum, because he translates as
Kodom. But the Targum says the word Hey, he's not. I think the Targum doesn't work out, because according to the Targum, the Hey is a separate word, Hine. The Hey, according to the Targum, is a separate word. Hine.
I understand, but he gives a separate word to the Lamed also.
Okay, but that's a prefix. That's right. You have the Lamed very often with Hashem's name, the Lamed, the Mem. But the pronunciation that says the fact this in the Mincha Shai, someone told me I was looking at the Mincha Shai, it looked there. That is the way the Olam, the Gans Olam, pronounces that word. Hal, it's a Shvanoch. Hal Adoy, that's the pronunciation. But the way it's spelled in the Torah is Hey, then there's a blank space, and there is Lamed Vavke, Yudke Vavke. Okay, that's just for the record. Now going back to our Pascha, we have over here Eshtos. In the Torah, it's spelled as one word. There is no blank space between Eish and Dos. Yet in the pronunciation, the correct way to pronounce the word is Eish Dos Lomai. To pause, a slight pause between Eish and Dos. Let's see Rashi. Vayomar Hashem Misinai Bo, Pasach Tchilu B'Shivcha Shel Mochim. The Pasach begins with Hashem's praise. V'achar Kach Pasach B'Tzorcheihem Shel Yisrael. And then we focus on the needs of the Jewish people. This reminds us of Shemayne Esrei. The first three blessings are Shevach to Hashem, and then we have 13 middle blessings where we ask for our needs. And then we conclude with Hoidah, thanksgiving. So here we begin with the Shevach of Hashem, V'yachach posach b'tzachim shal Yisrael, u'v'shevach sheposach bo yesh boi haskara zuchus li Yisrael. Even in the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we make mention of the merits of the Jewish people. Like what we do when we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we praise Hashem with our merits. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov. There cannot be a greater merit for Klal Yisrael than the Zechus Avos. V'chol zeh derech ritzui hui. This is the proper way to appease, to find favor in the eyes of Hashem. Kiloimar. Whenever Rashi says Kiloimar, this is a stop sign. Kedai heim elu shetochol aleihem brocha. These people are fitting. It's an indirect technique. You praise Hashem. In Hashem's praise, you sneak in our merits. And this opens up the path for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be willing to fulfill our coming request. Mi Sinai Bo, you came from Sinai. Yotza likrosom kishabohu lehisyatzev betachte sahar. Hashem came to greet them when we arrived to sit, to station ourselves at the bottom of the mountain. Kechoson hayotze lehakbil pene kala. Shenemar likras hoelokim lamanu sheyotza kenegam. This is a very important halacha, and a lot of chassanim don't do this correctly. The halacha is that a chassan is when the kala comes down the aisle, the chassan is supposed to leave the canopy, to leave the chuppah, and to pick her up, to go and to greet the kala, and then take the kala with her into the chuppah. So the yeshiva guys, they're all very shy. They don't do it. They just maybe if they're lucky, they'll take maybe one or two steps. If you go to a more modern wedding, modern Orthodox wedding, they do it. They do it all the way. The kala comes down, let's say three quarters down. She doesn't go all the way. Even sometimes I even saw halfway down. They come down the aisle, and that's it. And then the chassan, he goes all the way out. You know, boy, do you notice you notice very well, he comes all the way out of the chuppah, out of the under the chuppah, into the middle of the aisle, or at least, you know, two-thirds down, where you'll take note of it, and then he turns around with her, and they walk together under the chuppah. Okay, so then where does that come from? That comes exactly what happened at Matan Torah. All of the minhagim that we do by the Chosn Kala, or the chuppah, a very significant chunk of them come from Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael was the Kala, was the bride. And we walked down the chuppah. We came L'Hisyat Seif. We were coming in order to station ourselves at the bottom of the mountain. And as we arrived at Kadosh Baruch Hu, he came out. He came to greet us. How do you know that? You know that from this pasuk and from other pasukim as well. Let's read one more time. Misinai ba. The word ba is teaching us that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the chasan. He came out. He left Sinai. Sinai is the chuppah. He went out of the chuppah. Yatzo likrosam. He went out to greet them. Kishabau, when they, Klal Yisrael, lehisyat seif, to position themselves to stand. The word lehisyat seif ordinarily means to stand. That itself is a very big topic of discussion. Is it proper for the chosan and kala to stand when they get married, or should the chosan and kala sit when they get married? Now, you're telling me that I'm crazy because you've never gone to a wedding when you saw the chosan and the kala sitting down when the chosan says to the kala, Hare at mikudesh asli. Now, if you would ask me, I would tell, for sure you should sit down. Are you insane? You want to get married? Do you know what you're doing? I think, Sonny boy, you should sit down and think about this before you commit yourself to what you're about to do. Have some yishuv hadas. Are you sure you want to go through with this? Sit down. Why don't you sit down? Now, Rachmana Litzlan Loyaleinu, if I'm not mistaken, that by a divorce, so the husband and wife are sitting, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think that's the way it's done. It's a Maisa Bezdin, and they sit. By Yibam and Chalitza, the procedure is done when the Yavam is sitting. It's not just practical, you know, practical matters. You know, she takes off a shoe. Who says she has to sit when she takes off the shoe? Maybe he should be standing. She'll lift up his foot, and she will remove the shoe when he's standing. No, he's sitting. When she spits, is he sitting or standing? I believe that he sits. Why? Why is marriage different? Why, when a man marries a woman, is the minig, the man and the woman stand? I vaguely remember learning that in ancient times, not so long ago, it wasn't always done when they were standing. There were minhagim bedafka.
Once you sit down, you can never get up again.
If I remember correctly, I remember the sefer I saw this in. He brings down old minhagim that it was not always done where the chosan and the kala stood. There were customs, communities where the chosan kala sat. It was done sitting down. Here is a very interesting observation. We are describing Matan Torah, and we know that Matan Torah is the Makor for many minhagim Klal Yisrael, and Rashi says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the chosan with the kala. First, Yotzal Likudasam, Kishabau, when the Jewish people came, Lehisyat Seiv. What is the precise meaning of the word Lehisyat Seiv? It normally means to stand. To stand. By Matan Torah, did we stand? Did we stand? I'm assuming we did. I don't know. Did we stand or sit? Kriyas HaTorah is also a geder of a reenactment of Matan Torah. Do you stand or do you sit at Kriyas HaTorah? Not so simple. I mean, the one that gets the brach, the one that gets the aliyah, he certainly stands. But the people in shul, the audience, do they stand or sit? The gra is of the opinion you must sit. You sit down. Okay, anyone that tells you in Chaim Berlin they follow Minugra doesn't know anything. I mean, Hashem say that, but they don't know what they're talking about. Because if you were to follow the Minugra from beginning to end, take out Maaseh Rav. Maaseh Rav is a famous sefer about the Minhagei HaGra. And you go through the sefer from beginning to end, you live your life, everything that the Gra did, they would say about you that you're conservative, reform, who knows what you are, you're not orthodox. Because his minhagim were completely radical compared to the way that we do things today. There are certain select things that certain communities do, which they attribute to the Gra, but that does not mean, oh, they follow the Gra. Nobody follows the Gra 100%. Impossible. It's very selective things. A little thing here, a little thing there. And you'll find out, really, it's not even the Gra. It's many other Rishonim. People are just lazy. They found it in the Gra, so they say it's the Minhag HaGra. It's not the Minhag HaGra. This is the Minhag. Klal Yisrael, that's the Halacha. Okay, so the Gra, he sat. He held it. You must sit. The people in the audience must sit for Kriyas HaTorah. In all of the yeshivas, the minig is the hakpada, the very makpid to stand for Kriyas HaTorah in the audience. In the shuls, not true at all. In most of the shuls, and probably 95% of shuls, what I call a shul, a Beis HaKnesses, the olam sits. Olam sits. You're tired. Okay, people, they sit. In a yeshiva, they try to teach a talmidim. They're young kids. They tell you, Kriyas HaTorah, Ben Torah, you stand for Kriyas HaTorah. You don't sit, they give you Musar. You're supposed to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. So here it says, Lehisyat Seiv, Gantz Klai Yishlo came to stand, Betach the Sahar, Kichoson, and now he's going back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's coming out of the mountain, Kichoson, Hayotzei, Lahakbil, to greet, Penei Kala. Shenemar, it says the same pasuk, Likras Ho Elokim. What Likras means, towards Hashem. Hashem was waiting for us. He came out of Sinai to greet us. Lamanu sheyotzo, Hashem left Har Sinai and he came close kinegdam. And that's what it means in the pasuk, mi Sinai bo. Next, v'zorach mi seir lamoy, sheposach livnei esav. Now what does it mean say? So Sarah, we mentioned, is not just in location according to Rashi. It's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he first asked. He went around to all the nations of the world asking them, would you like to accept the Torah? Sheposach lebe'esav sheyikablu es ha-Torah v'loy rotsu. They did not want. Now, this is a very challenging thing. How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered another nation? Wasn't it meant to be from day one? From Ma'aseh Bereishis, only we will get the Torah? So there's a very popular answer. I cannot recall who says this answer, and there's a lot of appeal to me. Hashem never ever intended to give Esav, Yishmael, and the Umay Sa'olam the Torah, meaning the entire Torah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original plan was to give the nations a chelek in Torah. Esav, he would give them one mitzvah. Yishmael, one mitzvah. They would be divine, they would have a divinity. Divinity. Klal Yisrael was meant from the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis to have Taryag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs. But it was also the original plan that the Umay Sa'olam, each nation, at the time of Matan Torah, would also come. They would also join us at Matan Torah and stand on the side, be present at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to the world and accept, and Hashem would give them a specific mitzvah. And that would give them Kedusha, and that would change the world entirely. And what was so shocking was they rejected their chelek. They could have had a chelek in Torah. They rejected it. Who got that chelek instead? It's not clear. Does that mean that Klal Yisrael got more? Or does that just mean it was lost? But this is a very important idea. And it's in the pasuk. The pasuk, you can't deny that there's truth to this, because the pasuk over here says, V'zach mi'sir lamay, Hashem appeared to the Jewish people, lo means onto them from Seir, meaning before Matan Torah began, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Esav and gave them a mitzvah. I also want to give you a small chelik in Torah, Shepasach levnei Esav sheikablu es ha-Torah v'loi ratzu. Again, it doesn't mean the entire Torah, it means their chelik in Torah. Haifia lohem, this poetic repetition, Hashem appeared to them, Nehar Paran. What's Paran? Paran is the location in the world where the Arabs, that's not an accurate term, where the Bnei Yishmael live. Who says the Arabs today are blood descendants of Yeshua? That's not so simple to say. And that's what Pasha, to say that the Arabs today of the world are blood descendants of Yishmael. It's we view them to be people who have accepted the ideology of what Yishmael ben Avraham, represents. They're not necessarily blood descendants. Maybe they are. No one can really tell you. No one can answer that question. Shahalach sham pasach le Yishmael sheikablu kablu v'loratzu. The asal Yisrael may reviv ois kodesh. The imay miktsas rivas. The mem means miktsas. Only a small portion of the multitudes, the 10,000. Rivava means 10,000. Rivavos is multiple. It means multiples of 10,000, which means at least 20,000. Malachi kodesh v'loy kulam v'loy rubam. Not all of them. And not even the majority. V'loy kederech basav adam shemare kol kavod ashrei v'tifaret b'yom chupasai. Not like the nature of a basav adam who shows off all of his wealthy kavod, the honor of his oisher and his splendor on the day of his wedding. Today, most chassanim don't have a penny to their name. It's their parents, and their in-laws who pay for the wedding and pay from everything from A to Z. So it's interesting how times have changed. People would first get married when they were fully established, and they had, if they wanted, they can show off the kavod ashrei and tifaretoi, whatever that means. But the thing over here is something which is really very hard to relate to, that a person, that basav adam, it's their derech on the day when they get married, they display all of their the kavod ashrei v'sifaretoi. The Ribbono Shel Olam, when he married Klal Yisrael, he had a takana wedding. That's really what it means here. Could you imagine the Ribbono Shel Olam? He had a, you know what the takana weddings are? Only a one man band. You're only allowed to have a certain number of guests, and you're only allowed to have flowers on in the ladies section, and all the whole long set of rules. A takana wedding. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he was the first one to have a takana wedding, because he could have brought with him whatever he wanted, but he limited his guests to 20,000 malachim. They're not kulam, he has a lot more. It's not even rubam, the majority. He had a lot of more malachim he could have invited to the wedding, and he decided not to invite them because takonis, a takona wedding. Amazing, huh? Eish das. Eish means fire, das means a law. Shehoisa kisuva me'oz lefonav be'eish shechoira algabe eish levona. Torah was written in Shemayim on eish, fire. There are different colors of fire, black fire and white fire. Agad v'nasan lachem beluchos ksav yad yiminoi. And Rashi has some mystical things over here. And he gave it to them in the luchos. Ksav yad yiminoi. Now what does that mean? An eishtos, a fiery law. Eishtos. One more time. Ha'yusha ksuva lefonav. And a fire, a black fire, on top of a white fire. Nasan lachem beluchos ksav yad yiminai. Okay, I have no idea what this means. That's what mimino. Mimino means the right. The right. Mimino means me in his right hand. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he wrote the Torah on the luchos with his right hand. And what did he write? It was a fire. It's black upon a white fire. Now that's very hard for us to understand, because as far as we know, the luchos were hollow. Chazal say the mem v'samach shebeluchos b'neis hoyu oimdim, and the Yerushalmi says the letter ayin was oimed b'neis, which seems to indicate that it was chiseled out, it was hollow. So where do you see from that there is a black fire, and where do you see there is a white fire? It's very difficult to understand what this means. Obviously, we know nothing about what the luchos look like, and it's a very mystical thing, but this is what it says. But it's very clear from here, we learn many, many halachos. Number one, to be a sofer, you must use your right hand. A person who is a righty and writes one letter in the Sefer Torah with his left hand, the Sefer Torah is posel. Person who is a lefty, he's a lefty, so his left hand in halacha is called the right hand. And if he were to write one letter in a Sefer Torah, it's filled in mezuzah, with the other hand, with his right hand, which is considered in that case the left hand, puzzle, as it says here, when Hashem wrote the Torah, mi noi, the right hand. Let's say one is ambidextrous, mamish equal, 50-50, you can do 100-100, you can write equally with your right hand and your left hand, so you really have no right and no left. Because if they're both the same, you can't call one your Iker, one the Tofel. The Mishnah Berurah says, such a person should not be a Sofer. If you are 100% ambidextrous, you cannot be a Sofer, because you have to be able to have a right hand and a left hand, just like the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he wrote the Torah, he gave it mi noi, eish das, black on white. The color of ink in the Sefer Torah must be black. If you use any other color in the ink, it's pasul. If later on, due to age, it turns brown or turns red, there are many leniencies that it's okay, because when it was written with black ink. The parchment has to be natural, which we call lavan. If the parchment is colored with any other dye, it's not called white, then it's pasul. Then everything the Rashi over here says turns into a halacha. Meaning, you know, this is Matan Torah, and Hashem wrote, gave it with his right hand, the halacha righty, eish das, black ink upon white parchment. Okay, and that's I mean, then Rashi says another pshat, davar acher, another pshat, davar acher, eish das, kitar gumay, which we're going to see, shenitna lechem mitoicho eish. The Torah was given, a das means a law, a fiery law. I mean, that's really what it means in any case. It means a fire that the Torah was given to the Jewish people from the fire. There was a fire burning when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave the Torah. And this is the makar for a minig at a wedding, that when the chosan and the kala go down to the chuppah, their parents or their shushbinin hold fire. They hold in their hand a candle. They hold a candle or a torch. That comes from all of the minhagim that happen at a wedding, a Jewish wedding, come from the first wedding of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That was the wedding to Klal Yisrael. Hashem was the chosan, we were the kala, and the wedding. And just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it says that the Torah was that the wedding took place fire. So there should be fire by a wedding where the shushbinin hold candles or torches as they march the chosan and kala to the chup. And in fact, I saw in a very choshev sefer that a lot of the caterers who totally control the shots at a wedding, they make a terrible mistake. They grab the torches away from the parents of the chosan kala and they blow it out. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to keep those candles lit the entire chuppah. And if the parents of the chosan kala can't hold it because of whatever reason, the mother of the kala wants to walk around the chosan of the kala with her daughter, so you should have holders under the chuppah. You have special holders, a place to put the candles. Should be safe, of course. No one wants the whole chuppah to go up in smoke. It should be safe. Those candles are not supposed to be extinguished, because the whole makar is the Torah was given me to eish. That's why they come down with the candles. So why are you blowing it out? It would be better they should not march down with the candles, and they should first light the candles when they get down to the chuppah. What are you blowing it out for? They should remain lit. Okay, but you can't argue with the caterers. And you definitely cannot argue with the photographer. The photographer, at least Harry Trainer, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he died, I don't know, from corona, maybe, who knows. He died very recently. He died Pesach time. Harry Trainer, he was a legend. What a legend. And everyone tells you the same thing. Anyone who got married, when he was the photographer, will tell you the same thing. All of the Rosh Yeshivas were afraid of him. He controlled the wedding. He controlled. You didn't get married. You didn't say Harayat until he said you can now say Harayat. Not the Masada condition. He had to make sure everything was just right. So here we have already so many minhagim. The chos is just like Ras Tekala. There should be fire. And we learn over here the Yisoy, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it says in the Pasuk, Seir Hashem offered Esav, a mitzvah. And the mitzvah intact, what was the mitzvah that he offered Esav? He offered the mitzvah, the Medrash says, he offered them Zinus, Gili Arayis, to be Nizar and Gili Arayis. Which mitzvah did he offer Yishmael? Yishmael, he offered Ritzicha, Leisirtzach. And what's strange is that we find it, well, maybe it was the other way around. I always forget. We find today that they took each other's midah. Whatever it is. He offered them these mitzvahs and they rejected it. That would have been for them a chelik in Torah, and they did not. They rejected their chelik in Torah. So we have a beautiful pasuk, or matan pasuk, vayamar, Hashem, first is praise. Rashi begins by telling us the ikur, we're going to first praise Hashem. And in the praise, we're going to weave in the zuchus of Klal Yisrael. Before Moshe Rabbeinu, he comes to make a request. The requests are going to be the blessings that he's going to give the Shvatim. And in the praise, he makes mention of Misinai Bo, the halacha, Chosen Yotze Likras Kala. We learn about Misir Lomoi, Esav, they lost out. It's also why they're jealous of us. Another, there's a very important component of the jealousy of Esav and Yishmael. Halacha b'yidua Esav sonei Yaakov. There are many dimensions to anti-Semitism. And one of the dimensions to anti-Semitism is they realize that they made a very big mistake. They had an opportunity to be makabel a chelik in Torah. And they rejected it. And that's what it says here. Misir lomai. And this is very important. And hafia mehar paron. Yishmael also hates us. See, this is something that we don't talk a lot about. When it comes to the principle of halacha biyodua Esav soinei Yaakov, that's Esav. So why does Yishmael hate us? Esav hates us, everyone will tell you, because the brochos, he was the bechor. He was supposed to be the firstborn and then the avodah and all of the blessings from Yitzchak. And what did he do? He made a foolish mistake. He sold the brachas for a bowl of lentils. So the jealousy, the recognition of the foolishness in their decision is what fuels the hatred that Yishmael has for his brother Yaakov. But what about Yishmael? Why do they hate us? So you'll say, because sorry, Menu, Goresh, Es ben ha'oma hazoiz ki lo yirash im bini im Yitzchak. That's absolutely correct. That's also where the hatred comes from. But there's another important element that is common to Yishmael and to Esav, and that is they had an opportunity to have a chelek in Torah. Even though they messed up in the past, they still were given a second chance to have at least a chelek in the Torah. And they made another foolish mistake. They never lost an opportunity to make a mistake, and they rejected it. And that type of hatred is what a common hatred. Each Esav and Yishmael have unique reasons to hate us. But there's also a common reason why they both hate us. That is this pasuk. Seir Har Paran. Now you have to ask yourself the question, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu also give an opportunity to other nations, to Egypt? Did Hashem give an opportunity to Mitzrayim to have a chelik in the Torah? Did Hashem offer Amon Umoyav an opportunity to have a chelik in Torah? Did Hashem offer Bavel? Did Hashem offer Ashur? I don't know. In the Midrashim, it seems like Hashem did. But in the Pasuk, it doesn't say that. In the Pasuk, it only says two other nations were given an opportunity to have a chelik in the Torah. And that is Seir and Har Paran. Hashem came, may Rivivois, the mem is critical. Hashem made a takona wedding. Only a small fraction of his guests came. And Miminoi Esh Dos Lomoi, Hashem gave the Torah a fiery law. Esh Shechora al Esh Levana, it's Skrivir Siv. And we learn all of these very fascinating halachas, the right hand, black ink on white parchment, and there was a fire at the time of Matan Torah, which translates into the Shushbinin walking down the aisle holding in their hand candles or torches. Some people don't know this. I remember once hearing by a modern Orthodox wedding where everything was extremely exotic, very exotic, And the party planner decided who needs the candles. We don't need candles. We have other things which are enhancements. So of course, the party planner says no candles, no candles. But that's a big mistake. Everything is rooted in minhagim. There are reasons for everything, and it's not so quick. It's not such a good idea just to, you know, to wipe away what's been done throughout the ages just because we don't understand. There must be reasons for everything. Okay, let's see the Targum. Okay, we only have 5 minutes left. Let's see the Targum. Pasuk Beis Va'amar Hashem. Hashem said Va'amar. Vayomar, who said? Moshe said. Moshe said, Hashem Misinai is Gili. So Rashi, the Targum, is translating the word Bo. He's not explained like Rashi, that Hashem went forward, but rather the word Bo, he translates as revelation. Big Vurte. Okay, Big Vurte. Hashem appeared Big Vurte al Tura. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Iskale, period. V'zehor yikorei. And Hashem's radiance appeared. Miseir ischazi. Lano means to us. Then it says iskili. He translates the word ba and the word hofia, the Targum, exactly the same. Revelation. Bigvorte. Now here, he adds in more. Hofia doesn't just mean he appeared, it means iskili bigvurte. Okay, that's a very big difference. When it says the word bo, Hashem came, the Targum translates iskili, a revelation. When it says hofia, according to the Targum, this means there's more flavor in the word hofia. It means iskili bigvurte, a revelation with power. Where al tura de paron. Now there's something also very interesting over here. Over here it says, when it says mehar paron, he doesn't say like he said before, me sayer. I don't know what's going on over here in the Targum. I'm talking what we're saying is al, upon the mountain of the tura, the mountain de paron, the ime with Hashem was ribvas kadishin. Was rivas means multitudes of holy creatures. Kesav yamine, the ksav, the writing of his right hand, migoi ishasa, from fire. Oiraisa yahav lena, a Torah he gave to us. Thus means oiraisa. Oiraisa is always the Targum for the word Torah. Oiraisa, and here he says the word dos. Dos means the oiraisa. Yahav lano, he gave to us. He gave us the Torah, which was the ksav yimina, the writing of his right hand from a fire. So that means miminoi, the writing of his right hand, an eish dos, a fire, a writing of fire from a fire. Of Torah, he gave to us. That, I think, that pretty much translates the end of the word simply. But the chiddush over here is, what does he say over here when he makes the comparison between Har Paron and Har Seir? So I'm going to glance very quickly over here on the side. There's an enormous amount of commentary here on this Targum. An enormous amount of, let's see what he says over here. Okay, so right away first is the word Ba. The reason why it says the word Ba, the Targum disagrees with Rashi, you can't say that Hashem comes. He explains over here a very basic principle. How can you say that the Ribbono Shel Olam travels? That goes against the fundamentals of Judaism. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, up, down, right, left, all around. Hashem is everywhere. If Hashem is everywhere, Hashem doesn't need to come. If you express a term that Kadosh Baruch Hu, he is arriving. Kechoson Yotze Likras Kal. So that implies that until Hashem arrived, there was a vacancy. Hashem was absent. How could you say that? How could you say Kadosh Baruch Hu was absent? Miloy Chol Ha'aretz Kevoidoi. Rashi obviously doesn't hold that to be a problem. Rashi is responding to the Targum. Targum says, Iskali, Hashem is everywhere. Sometimes Hashem is Roye Ve'enoi Nire, and sometimes Hashem is Roye Ve'nire. When Hashem wants, Hashem allows Himself to be seen. But when Hashem does not allow Himself to be seen, it does not mean for one moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absent. I mean, that's a basic principle in Judaism. That's basic. Hashem is always there. Imoi Anoichi Bitzara. However, it's the Anoichi Haster Aster Panai. But Hashem is there. Hashem doesn't need to come. That's but Rashi, that and therefore the Targum has this challenge. What then does it mean? Bo. That's what the Targum says. It's just a matter of revelation, turning on a switch, revelation. Rashi actually says bo. So what does that mean? So you have to say, you have to think of what does it mean exactly? It means different levels, different madregos. Of course, Hashem is always present, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu intensifies his revelation. It's, I don't know, it's a similar, these are very mystical things.
Well, you have in the parasha, Rochem Shomayim Be'ezrael.
So what does that mean exactly?
It's between the Kisei HaKovod in Yecheskel and Yeshayim.
So Hashem is changing the midos. Okay, that's in Shomayim. In Shomayim, yeah. Hashem goes from the Kisei HaKadin to Kisei Racham. Okay, you're right. These are all very mystical things. But at least appreciation of the Targum is saying, something that I think is more simpler. It's Iskalei. Okay, a little more warning of the name. V'zeh Yikar Misel Ischazi. Okay, then when he talks about Seir, okay, well, let's jump down to the next time. Next thing, there's a lot of stuff here. Just let's go. Iskale Begvurte Al Tur Deparai. Now, according to Targum, what he explains is Har Sinai is Har Paran. There's a very powerful difference between Rashi and the Tungulus. If Ungulus says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself with power upon Har Paran, Rashi learns Har Paran is another term for Sinai. Sinai was basically Har Paran was renamed. In honor of the event of Matan Torah, we're going to rename Har Paran and we're now going to call it Har Sinai. That's an incredible thing. That means also, you know, it affects our now your research. Where exactly is Har Sinai? Okay, everyone, it's a very big mystery. Where is Har Sinai? Is it in Saudi Arabia? Is it in Egypt? Is it here? Is it there? Everyone is all the different candidates in the modern world of research. Where exactly is Har Sinai? According to Rashi, Paran has nothing to do with Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he first went to the hometown of the Yishmaelim, and he asked them, would you like to accept the Torah? Where are the Yishmaelim to be found? Har Paran. And then they said no, so Hashem packed up, and he went to Har Sinai, and he gave the Torah in Har Sinai. Ungulus says no. There is no, Hashem never went to have any conversation with the Yishmaelim. They were not eligible even to have a chelik in Torah. The only one that was offered a chelik in Torah, well, it doesn't even say this, the Targum. He can't even say, but it says he came from Seir. What does that mean exactly? I mean, he doesn't say what Rashi says, that he offered them the Torah, but he came from Seir, and he appeared upon the mountain of Paran. The mountain of Paran was then renamed Sinai. Whole Nupshat. And that's the Targum. And Targum is always known almost as the Ikar. Okay, and in fact, what the Targum says is supported by Beferish Gemara Masechta Shabbos. And the Gemara there says that Har Sinai has five names. And Tosfos there says, Dal Korchoch Sinai Hainu Paran, Dechsev Hayfia Mehar Paran. So Beferish Tosfos, what the Targum Unkelus says is explicit in Tosis, Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Shabbos, and Daf Peites Amud Aleph. And Rashi is the one that's deviating from what it says in the Gemara. And he's telling us, no, Paron is not Sinai. Paron is the Yishmaelim. He asked them if they want him to come with her. Okay, it's late. We have to stop here. Thank you very much, Rabbi Isai. May Hashem will continue this. At least we did pretty much two psukim on this very beautiful parasha. And Amir Hashem will continue. Believe me, they will continue tomorrow. Have a good night. Be well.
Good night. Good night.
Heshi, how's you davening?
Ooh, who's that mustache?
Heshi, how's you davening with Yom Kippur?
Was nice.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
It was nice. We started at 9 o'clock, finished around the quarter to 12. Listen, we started at 5 o'clock, we ended 7.
Oh, you down Kiva Sikun? You down very early?
What?
You down very early?
No, we started at 9 o'clock.
And when did you end?
7:30.
No, Musaf. When did you end Musaf?
Musaf, a quarter to 12.
That's very fast. That's too fast. Can't be. Impossible. No way.
Impossible. No, I'm sorry, you're right. We started Musa according to
big difference. Woo! And what time did you finish Musa? 2:30? 2 o'clock?
2:05.
2 o'clock. All right, that's good. It's a nice Musa.
We even had one of Amos' son-in-laws was drafted. He's a cousin from Baltimore. He's a cousin in Shul. We're acquired. They're requiring, so we grabbed them.
Very nice.
It was nice, but about to shoot down. I enjoyed it.
Which shul is this? Which shul?
This is where you went to Ronnie Cobb. But the backyard minion.
Oh yeah, in the backyard.
Yeah.
That's a long minion for a backyard minion.
They had spaces from like three different backyards.
It's a long davening to sit in the backyard. Like, how was the weather? Was it okay? The weather was good?
It was raining. We had the tents. It got a little wet, but
it was raining. It was raining.
Wasn't under the tent because they wanted to be open. So.
It was raining?
They
what time did it rain? What time?
Fila.
What?
The chazen.
What time did it rain? When did it rain?
It rained like 1 o'clock.
Yeah?
It was a drizzle. It came down a little steady. But we were under the tent. But he was stuck.
He had
to jump into under the tent.
Really? Rain? Wow. I thought it was very nice the whole day. It looked like it was nice in that inside. I didn't go outside the whole day. I was inside the whole day. It looked like it was nice outside the whole day.
We had a three-hour break.
All right, good. It's good.
Most people cooperated with the mess. I don't know, the May came down. There's a picture, you said, like the Bava Rebbe at 45th Street. He's wearing a mask. They took a picture.
So what's the big deal?
Because it's saying in Borough Park, nobody was doing a mask. This is like a billboard. The one is like, I got you.
Terrible. Terrible.